This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey, TK.
Hey,
hey, girl. It's been a minute.
It has been a few minutes.
And our little Snurk Bulls have been so patient. Thank you, Snurk Bulls.
I would say
mad.
Not
angry.
So patient. I would say there's been a mix. There's been patience. There's been lack of patience, and there's been some, what in the hell
are you people doing?
Well, we've been doing a lot of different stuff.
We have. We've been branching out.
We have branched out.
Way out.
There's been a lot of stuff.
So much branching.
Yes.
Listen, we're evolving into a new phase. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. Here's the good news.
I love good news.
True Story is going to continue.
Yes.
There is a change, though.
That's right.
Well, and I'm just going to say.
Just say it.
As you know, I wrapped up Don't Ask Tig.
Right.
My other podcast. And Tig and Cheryl was on hiatus.
Yes.
And I launched my new podcast, which is called Handsome. It's with Fortune Feimster and Mae Martin. Very hilarious.
We're very
people.
Handsome.
Very handsome, wonderful humans.
Yes.
Very funny. And then True Story is coming back, but Cheryl's going to have a different co-host.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're bringing on Rachel Harris.
Mm-hmm.
And some of you might already know Rachel Harris because remember, Tig, she was on one of our episodes, Inventing David Geffen.
Yes. That was a great episode.
It was a great episode. Yes.
And she's your BFF.
She is. I've known her for years and years, and she's very funny. So there's a new face, a new kid on the block, if you will.
A new voice.
A new voice on the block.
And we spent some like time trying to figure out, oh, what are we going to do? Are we just wrapping up this show? Because I really do. I personally would like to just focus on one podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Cheryl and I talked about things, it made sense for somebody like Rachel Harris, not just like Rachel Harris, but for Rachel Harris, your BFF, who is hilarious and a friend of mine, to step in and keep the show going.
Yeah.
And I am here to say I have been so excited. I've been waiting months to hear the first episode between you and Rachel.
Yeah.
And Thomas sent it to me, and I was thrilled. I was tickled. I was laughing. I listened to it with Stephanie. She and I were both like, wow, okay, yeah, this is really good. This is great.
Yeah. And okay, good.
Yeah. Well, the dynamic that you guys have just naturally, I think translated onto the show. I think it's what you and I had as well.
Yeah.
And so it just feels like a natural fit. It's not some random person that we auditioned to come in. It was like, bring in Rachel Harris.
Bring her in, y'all. Bring her in.
Bring her in, y'all.
Bring her in.
Yeah.
Tig, I just want to tell you and our listeners, too, while we were on hiatus, I launched Hines & Young, my self-care company that was working on for so long, but I couldn't tell you about it.
I know.
We did a soft launch in May, and Dr. Becky Hines has been working her ass off.
As she does. Assless. Assless Heinz.
Assless Heinz is what we like to call her. But
that's right.
You can go on Shop Heinz and Young and check out our line of candles and body creams, and it's cruelty-free and natural and eco-friendly and
all the good stuff.
All the good stuff. And I think people really love it.
Cheryl sent me
a
little package of her goods, I don't know, a month ago or so.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get my wife's face out of the candle. I truly could not pry the candle off of her snout.
No, they smell so good. They smell,
they smell so good.
We have four different fragrances. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we should just get right to the new, right?
Absolutely. I was going to say, should we do it again? But I'm going to go do Handsome and you do True Story.
Okay.
I just want to say, I think I did 3 years of Don't Ask Tig. I did 3 years of Tig and Cheryl. And I had so much fun. And I want to just emphasize how much I appreciate and love the Snark Bowls.
Yeah.
Our listeners are just... they're rabid fans.
They're crazy and they're smart and they're funny and
cool.
Yeah. They're really great.
Yeah. They all feel like people that we would actually be friends with.
Hang out with.
It's a weird thing.
Yeah. It's great.
And I want to say, Cheryl.
Yes, Tig.
You know, I told you before we started the podcast, I think you look great.
Oh, well, as do you. Thank you.
Well, you know, you didn't return the compliment when I told you that when we got on Zoom.
You're sitting in a closet next to a flannel shirt. Okay, go ahead.
Well, right, but I'm trying to come out to you.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
I'm in a closet next to a flannel wearing a flannel.
And you're
I'm a gay
to
person.
Come out. What?
I'm dabbling. No, but I just want to say I had 3 incredible years with you and on the podcast. I love and adore you as a human.
I love and adore you, Tig. You know this.
You know this,
you
Cheryl.
You know this.
I just want to say it. You know that
you,
I think you look good, but I thought
listen,
I'd say it
I've
too.
I've always thought you looked good, and that's...
Okay, let's get on. But let's also mention how great Thomas looks, too.
Thomas is handsome and hot.
Yes, and consistent.
Thank you.
Very consistent.
Thank you.
I said that he was consistent.
Thank you.
Maybe that's not the best compliment. Yeah.
He's clever. If somebody told me I was consistent, I would love that.
I'd be like, thank you.
Yeah, but nice. Thomas is clever, consistent, handsome, cute, all of those things.
Yeah.
And anyway, I just wanted to say all of that as I hand the torch on to the wonderful Rachel Harris. And I wish you both so much luck and fun. Also, the song doesn't have words because we took out our story.
Right. As we transition, we'll figure out what the new intro will be. But for now, it's just a little hint of True Story. Yeah. And then we'll get right into it with Rach.
And the show is now just called True Story.
That's right. The show is now called
True
Story.
That's the other thing. But hang in there, Snarkbulls. Just keep listening. It's going to be a fun ride.
Yeah. So, ladies and jerks, welcome to Telemarketers. Rachel Harris, welcome to True Story.
Thank you. I'm delighted.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I hate to say it.
Say it.
But this was part of my master plan.
Ah.
That was I was going to get Tig out.
Yeah.
I just was like, wait to elbow her.
I
was dangling other projects in front of her. And also, I just want to say to everybody listening, Tig and I have the exact same sense of humor.
You guys are
interchangeable. It's
going to
be seamless. It's going to be like...
They're not even going to know there's a new host.
I know. It's like, and I can also be just like Amy Sedaris.
Yeah.
Sedaris, you know what I mean?
Yeah. By the way, you don't need to worry about how you pronounce people's names because we never get them right on the show.
Okay, good. Well, then I fit right in. Boom.
Boom.
Match.
Okay, just so everyone knows, Rachel and I are biffles. I only said that because I saw it on the internet.
I don't like
Does anybody call it the internet?
No.
Online. And, it means best.
But what is it?
It means best friends for life.
We are biffles.
So Rach and I met each other at the Groundlings Theater in
about 2 weeks ago.
And we've been through a lot. A few marriages.
A few marriages.
Some kids. Not necessarily together. We weren't married together to each other.
We weren't married together. No. We've never made out or anything weird like that.
No, but it's... I was going to say it's possible, but I don't think you're...
It is
you're
possible.
You're not my type. No offense.
We're totally not each other's type.
No, because like, we kind of look alike, which is weird.
It's very weird. But also, we've been through some really bad outfits together.
Ooh, and bad hair. And not intentionally... Yeah,
if you're
ever really bored and you want to look at bad pictures, just Google us. Okay, it doesn't matter. None of this matters.
Specifically the Golden Globes, when we both looked like we were trying to go. We thought we were at the Country Music Awards or something. I don't know.
We kind of looked like hookers.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, we felt like we were right on brand.
We thought we were.
We had some hair.
We're like, this is going to hit.
Mm-hmm.
It's so. We thought we were just so dope.
I feel like one of us had a side pony. And by the way, we're not talking about like in the 80s. This was like, just like 15 years ago or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that might have been like early 2000s maybe.
Yeah.
Between husbands.
Between husbands.
I just remember I had brunette hair. So it would have been around the time of The Hangover and Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Okay. And by the way, listeners, those are projects that Rachel has been on before.
Yes.
Because somebody's tooting a horn already. I think we should just dive right in.
Really? Okay.
Did you have other
things? What are we doing today?
Did you have other things you wanted to talk about?
So much.
By the way, this thing that we're about to talk about is, it was long to watch.
Long to watch, and it was a breath of fresh air.
So Rach, I love documentaries. As a matter of fact, when my daughter Kat was little and she would, you know, wake up for school and be like, I'm sick, I'd say, well, then guess what, you're gonna have to watch documentaries all day. You're not gonna sit here and watch like the Disney Channel. And she was like, great. So we would watch documentaries. I thought it would be as a punishment to her, but She really loved it. But, I mean, I guess I should ask you if you even like documentaries.
I don't.
And goodbye, everybody.
Nancy. No, I do, actually. I do love documentaries. Although I'm also such a scaredy cat, so it's going to be fun to see what we get assigned. I know that you've done some scary documentaries, or like disturbing, I should say. I don't like disturbing documentaries, but I'm going to do it. But you watch like 2020, like there's murder things.
Oh,
like,
no, I do
every
like
every Friday
murder.
Night.
No, I do like murder.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah,
it makes
me
feel better about myself somehow. Like I survived that murder.
Yeah. And I'm just so like such a hypochondriac about everything. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
What if I turn into that person that's doing the murdering?
Rachel has an odd form of being a hypochondriac because she's – if you have any sort of mental disorder or psychological disorder – and you mention it, if someone says, oh, you know, I have a cousin who's schizophrenic, then Rachel will call me like 50 times in the next 4 days. Like, I actually do think I'm also schizophrenic. No matter what you've had or had, she comes down with it immediately.
Yeah.
Listen, you're going to have a lot of crazy bullshits on this because there's...
Oh, I know.
I mean, people don't make documentaries about fun stuff.
Right. It's kind of like nobody does a documentary because they're like, oh, this was easy.
In a good mood. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, Rach, we're going to just dive right in. There's a lot to cover.
Let's do it. I was wondering why you were taking so long.
Today, we're talking about telemarketers. It's a 3-part documentary series directed by Sam Lipman Stern. Stern? Sturm. Stem. No, Stern.
Stern with an N.
It's just for the, just when I'm reading it, the R is.
She refuses to get like real glasses. She's wearing readers.
From Amazon. Okay.
Because, and I am like, she's above glasses and I don't understand it.
Okay.
And we've talked about this for years.
Okay. Right. And Adam Bala. It follows Sam and his former coworker, Pat Pespas, over a 20-year span as they work as telemarketers and later become interested in investigating the shadowy world of charity-based telephone fundraising. Telemarketers was produced by the Safdie brothers and Danny McBride and is available to watch on HBO. I mean, you know what I found the most interesting thing about this was?
Yeah.
That it was a span of 20 years.
Yeah.
I just like watching people age. Is that bad that I like?
No, I know. I know. I was caught up with it, too. Like, you wanted to see what Pat looked like, and then you wanted to see what Adam looked like, right? I think it was Adam.
Oh, I don't. I couldn't tell you.
That was we'll find opposite. Out. Oh, yeah. Cheryl. She's so great. But
Sam.
Oh, that's right. It's Sam, because he kept saying, Sam, you're my best friend, which was disheartening to
okay,
me.
You're, like, you're my best really friend, jumping ahead, Rachel.
There's welcome to my life.
Okay. So Sam Lipman-Stern.
Come on, Cheryl.
Sam Lipman-Stern, who made this documentary. He worked at a company called the Civic Development Group for 7 years. Mm-hmm. They called it CDG. And he started when he was 14 as a ninth grade dropout.
Which makes sense. It's a reputable company if they're hiring a 14-year-old to call people for charities. Like, the beginning, you're just like, oh, this is bad.
This can't this is be real good. Bad. Yeah, no. But by the way, it's kind of crazy that he dropped out of school when he was 14.
And that his parents said, you have to get a job.
Right, which was good. You know, you can't like drop out of high school and do nothing.
They should have maybe been more specific. Like, it's not a job that you can do like telemarketing where you can get stoned and have watch guys do cocaine and heroin.
Okay, you're
and then go
ahead.
Graffiti on your lunch breaks.
You're really skipping
okay,
ahead.
I just it's just a lot, and I just those are the important points for me. Okay, go ahead.
So he realized, which I thought was interesting, that he had the wherewithal at 14 that he was involved in a telemarketing scam.
Yeah, there was something super shady.
And he, yeah, well, like you were saying, because the people that were working there
were convicted felons.
Yes,
they had priors.
Priors. Are you in the biz?
Yes, and they didn't care.
They had priors.
You know what, Cheryl? No, I'm just a really good listener.
Okay, can I just say for one quick minute, and I'm not criticizing Sam.
Yes.
It took me
don't you dare, because he's the one I'm attracted to. And I know okay. I really just,
you're
I jumped
skipping.
The shark.
You're...
But go ahead.
Well, are you attracted to his shoulder hair? Because like the first image of him, he's got, I think he's shirtless. He's shirtless and he has a lot of chest hair and shoulder hair that comes down also on his arms. Which once again, I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying it's a look.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm not attracted to that aspect of him. But it was when he got cleaned up and he became like,
okay,
you know, a real documentarian.
Ahead. Don't jump ahead.
Okay. Okay.
To me, I was like, I don't know what kind of documentary this is because there's a lot of body hair coming at me. Just like in the first 2 minutes. Also, so we go to see CDG and their offices are in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And it's weird because they're fundraising for quote unquote charities. Mm-hmm. And then the CDG takes a cut of the proceeds in exchange for taking care of everything. Mm-hmm. So their biggest client was the Fraternal Order of Police. Mm-hmm. And Sam worked at the top performing GDC office. Mm-hmm. And they won.
And the great thing that was so corrupt about it is that they would say, okay, so Fraternal Order of Police, we'll give you $350,000 and you let us use your name. And we're going to call all these people and say that we work for the Fraternal Order of Police. And we'll say, please give us money to support these fallen heroes at the FPO.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Right. And at the beginning, what you find out, you know, it's a slow burn, right? It's three hours long.
It's 3 hours. And I was riveted. I don't know about you. You sound like you were not riveted.
Yes.
I'm sorry, you guys. I don't have COVID. I just have a cough. It's been with me for 2 weeks.
But here's the thing. Here is the thing. The CDG would take 90% of whatever the telemarketers raised and supposedly gave 10% to the charities that they were talking
about.
So at some point, the people that were working there, like Sam, who was getting $10 an hour and no commission, he started to realize, oh, that's a weird cut. It's a weird, but the telemarketers had to tell a person, you know, that they were talking to. If the person asked how much of this goes to the charity, they had to say 10%. And then people would still give money anyway because they were calling on behalf of the police.
The fire department.
Or the Fraternal Order of Police, which does sound official.
Yeah.
But this place was kind of crazy. People, there were a lot of young people. There were a lot of
convicted felons with priors.
Okay. And they were doing drugs. They were tattooing each other. they were smoking weed.
Did I miss the tattooing part? Did we actually see people getting tattoos?
Yeah, there
did
was a little. Yeah, okay. For somebody who was riveted. Okay.
Wow.
Okay. Is it time? Oh, Thomas is telling me it's time for a break. And now have to cut my own self. Is that a word? My own self off.
Yeah, you got to cut yourself off.
Yeah, okay. Shitballs.
Sort of like what you have to do with martinis.
Ooh, you did not go there.
I did. I just Robert Reagan burned you.
That's a friend of ours from the Groundlings. Okay.
Friend of ours. A very funny friend of ours.
Okay, yes. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, Rach, we've got a lot to cover.
I know.
We got to really get into the nuts and I was going to say nuts
I just don't think you
balls.
Understand what you're talking about. And I'm worried.
Okay. Yes, we'll be right.
We'll take a break.
We'll take a break.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, and we're back, Okay, but Rach, so at the beginning, you don't really know what this documentary is about, and you, like, Sam thought that it was just going to be about the crazy people that worked at CDG
and that how shady it was.
And he was interviewing some of the people there. Do you remember Sabrina?
Do I remember Sabrina?
Woman named Sabrina.
And I love Sabrina.
For no reason whatsoever, she was asked, what does she want in a man? And she said, what she really wants is fellatio front and back. Mm-hmm. And don't forget to lick the crack.
Front and back, and don't forget to lick the crack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that threw me off a little because I was like, oh, are we going down like a sex hole?
I'm just going to let that land for everybody.
Did you think we were about to go down a sex hole?
No, I thought, amen.
Yeah, finally someone says it.
Finally somebody says what I want. Don't forget to lick the crack.
Okay, front and back.
No, but it was fantastic. And Sabrina was great. Like, I just love that they even circled back to her a few times.
Yeah.
Just for reaction.
Yeah, just came back like years later.
Which I was like, why are we using that as B-roll?
Like, why? I don't know. That's what I didn't understand.
I'm like, why are we going back to her?
I was like.
And I think I thought it was a really wonderful documentary, just. You know, overall. Honestly, I thought it was great, but that was weird to me.
Yeah.
I was like, why? We don't need to see Sabrina's reaction. I mean, that's what makes documentaries so fun. It's just like getting to know the people.
Was she putting on lip gloss?
Somebody else was putting it on her, and it was like, and it was white lip gloss.
Oh, Thomas, we have the clip of Sabrina.
Do it.
Oh, okay. You guys have to hear this because she's pretty amazing.
Front, back, and don't forget to lick the crack.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are you looking for in a man?
I'm looking for a man that is not crazy. I'm looking for a man that has a job, some type of job, hustle something. And he has to have a big dick. And he has to be into fellatio. Front and back. Don't eat it like a puppy. I don't like that shit. And you lick the crack too. Don't just focus on the booty hood.
Wiser words were
don't eat it like a puppy.
Don't eat it like a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think she deserves her own documentary because I would like to know more about Sabrina.
It could be telemarketers too.
So these were the people, and they're having a ball. And then there was another guy named Oh, what's his name? Patrick?
You don't remember Patrick's name? You don't remember Patrick?
No, I don't remember names. That's one thing.
Cheryl. Rachel. Patrick was the whole flippin' Mac documentary.
Well, I know.
The whole thing. That was when you're making a documentary, the story tells you.
See
the documentary tells you what the story is going to be about. Yes.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they realized, oh, this is Pat's story.
Yeah. So Pat was one of the. Pat was one of the, like, very successful telemarketers. Mm-hmm. Always high on heroin.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was not afraid to tell you about it.
No, he wasn't.
And that was part of the joke, that he would be completely, like, out of it and then pop back in and say, oh, Sally, can I get a $35 commitment from you today? And Sally would say, yes. Then he closed another one.
I don't think it was that easy. I think he talked a little bit more. Like, he got to know Sally. He was, like, asking her how her day was.
They did have tricks of the trade.
But he also said that he couldn't make a sale, and then he did heroin. And then he's like, boom, nailed it. Made the sale.
Yeah. Listen, this is not, we're not saying anybody should be doing heroin or drugs of any kind. No. We're just saying he thought it helped him. Okay. So there are two shadowy families that ran the CDG.
Mm-hmm.
The Pashes?
Pascal. I think it was...
No, it's Pat. Oh, you think the C is hard. Pascus?
I thought it was Pascal.
Nope.
Cheryl.
It's P-A-S...
Oh, Paspus. It's Pespus.
No.
It's Pespus.
No, it's Pas...
Patrick. Oh, no. That's Patrick's last name. Sorry.
No, it's okay, P-A-S-C-H-E-S. Pashes. Yeah. We'll say Pashes. And the Keezers. And in the 90s...
I don't think it was the Keezers. I think it's Kether.
No, it's Keezer. Okay. Rachel, you even looking? Are you looking at these words?
Cheryl, I read the
You're
words.
You're going off memory.
In the
90s, this group would lie about, they would even lie about being cops. First, they would call people and say, on behalf of, and then they just started saying, I am a cop. And they'd use a low voice to make it sound Keezers. Official. Yeah, yes, thank Keezers. You. Did you spend all of that time just trying to see if I was wrong?
I really did. I really did.
Then the CDG expanded to different charities. They opened up offices all over the country. And they rebranded the company as Consultants.
Mm-hmm.
Because, by the way, they got caught before. They got caught when they started telling people they were cops. They got caught. They got a slap on the wrist. And then they changed their name. Right?
Yes.
Then they were able to say that 100% of the proceeds went to the organization, because now they're saying that they're cops.
Well, now they're lying. Yeah. They're just like up the energy because the are we going to get to it finally about the part that the FOP was part of it and was actually telling them to
Rachel,
do the script?
Rachel,
am I really jumping ahead?
You are. And I
you guys,
feel
I'm just
like,
anxious. I just want to get to like the
even
juice
Rachel
and the
spills
meat.
Beans. This is a problem. And this is good.
Spoiler
this is
alert.
A problem.
It's okay. I think it's already spoiled. I think everybody that's listening is like...
No, they want to go on the journey.
Okay, all right.
So then the Federal Trade Commission started to go after the CDG because the CDG was making $250 million a year in 2010. The FTC, Federal Trade Commission, went after them and they ended up having to pay a $19 million fine and agreed
a
to
slap
shut,
on the wrist.
Shut down the company. And then Keezer and Pash were banned from telemarketing.
Yeah.
And these guys had Van Goghs, they had Picassos, they had mansions, they had cars, they had $250,000 worth of wine.
Yes. Which was so weird to me. It was when they were listing it off, then it was just like, even the words that they used, I can't remember specifically, but it was like on something, something wine. Let's play that back. Oh, okay. We don't have the capability to play it back.
But like fancy wine?
Yeah. It just was very weird. I'm not a wine drinker. We don't really drink wine, Cheryl.
We like vodka and
we like
tequila.
Cocktails and tequila.
We need the hard stuff.
I don't understand that. But that's just a
personal
preference. I don't
understand people that spend like thousands of dollars on one bottle of wine.
And also yachts. We're not yachties. We really aren't.
We are not yachties.
No, we're not yachties.
Okay, listen. So in 2011.
And I'm more of a Pissarro if I had to buy artwork, right?
Pissarro. What is Pissarro?
Yeah. Well, listen, go to Rome.
Are you saying P? Is that one word? Or are you saying?
No, Pissarro. Pissarro is an artist. And it's you can go to Paris and see it.
Okay. I bet I won't.
Okay. All right. Let's go. The point is, we're getting off track.
2011.
We've been on such good track.
Guess what? Pat got sober.
That's right.
Pat got sober.
He got off the heroin.
And so Sam is like.
Which I love.
I know.
I loved it.
And he looked so much better and he was in a better place. So Sam wanted to keep making this documentary. So he went and found Pat. Mm-hmm. And Sam's question was, why were none of the CDG's clients held liable for the scam?
Right, the FOP.
Especially the Fraternal Order of Police. Yeah, yes. FOP that you like to keep saying. So Sam and Pat looked into the charities, and they found that many of them had horrible ratings on Charity Navigator. But the thing is, it seems like there's only one company, the Charity Navigator, that's really trying to
be a watchdog.
Be
for
a
all
watchdog.
These charities. Yeah.
And they even said there's not much we can do if there's a bad charity. There are scams all the time, which I thought was alarming. Did you know all this was going on?
So alarming. Yeah. No, I didn't realize until hearing this that you can make up anything that can be funded. You know, you just put a name on it. And the big thing is like stickers.
Yeah.
And if you just send a sticker to somebody in the mail, it somehow legitimizes the charitable organization.
That was part of their scam because they were making people believe if you donated, we'll send you a sticker that you could put on your door that makes it look like, oh, the police are really protecting my place.
Right. So they were hitting up a lot of people that were immigrants that had come into these different cities, especially in New Jersey.
They were really...
Right? This is predominantly in New Jersey at this point. And that they were scaring them. And they were thinking, if we give this money to the FOP, the police are going to protect us and they're going to leave us alone and they're not going to come after us and deport us.
Yeah. So they were really taking advantage of people that were vulnerable, which is horrible. Yeah. And get ready, Rachel, because this is what every documentary is about. Whether it's, what do we do, a lot of cults? You know, it's the same sort of thing. People take advantage of vulnerable people.
You know what? I got to go. Happened? This has been fun, you guys.
No, we are only...
But I'm out. Good luck getting another guest host.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. Rachel, I know you have a lot of questions, but we have to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to tell everybody what happened.
Yeah.
And their minds are going to be blown.
Your minds are going to be blown. And you're never going to believe it.
Okay, come right back. We're coming right back.
Okay, we love you.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back. Okay, so now, blah, 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 blah. I mean, listen, we get bogged down. Okay.
That should be the, like, true story, otherwise known as bogged down.
We get bogged down. Mm-hmm. Remember Foghat?
I don't.
You don't remember the band Foghat? I don't know why it made me think of bog. Okay.
I sure don't.
Okay, so now Sam met with the former FTC chief, David Vladeck.
Yes. Oh, that was an amazing interview. I know what you're talking about. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but it was an amazing interview.
Why? What was amazing?
Because he's the one that said, there's nothing you can do to stop this because the police, it's like nobody wants to be on the wrong side of the police. They're a very powerful union. And he basically said, our hands are tied.
So at this point in the documentary, we find out that
Yes.
That some of the police, the actual police, mm-hmm. have been paid off.
Yes.
To join this company so they could mm-hmm. actually say, yes, I'm a police officer.
Yeah, and it legitimizes it. So it makes people want to give money even more.
So Patrick decides to go undercover. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you say? Like he got a job.
Yes, he did.
Telemarketing now.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. he's really investigating. At this point, David Keyser was banned from telemarketing because he had gotten in trouble, the $19 million, blah, blah, blah. But his brother Mark started a new telemarketing scheme and was so sad because he went back and even used the old records of who to call, who the nice people were that gave money because they just keep mm-hmm. calling the same people. I mean, that was just so hard.
They bankrupted people. It was shocking to see that woman say, I gave money and I just wanted to help. And I actually went to the bank and got a loan.
That was so sad.
To give more money.
Mm-hmm. And then there was a guy named Thomas Bailiff. Interesting.
Who was the scariest person in the entire documentary?
Well, he served 30 years in prison for murder.
Right.
Just a little backstory.
And also some people have committed murder, right? Mm-hmm. But they've been reformed. But this guy was a rehabilitated. Yeah, that's another word for it. But this guy was so scary on the phone because he came off as so nice.
Yeah.
And then if they said, I'm so sorry, I have to go, they'd hang up the phone and immediately be like, it was literally like, hey, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
I'm going to go, you know, like,
I hope your house burns down.
The flip on him was like such a sociopath. And the fact that these guys could hear him. You know what I mean? Like he was being recorded.
It was so awful.
Okay. So that was scary.
No, that was scary.
And that then 20 years later, he's still working for those companies.
And he's listening to True Story.
And right now that does scare me a little bit because I'm like, those guys could come after us. We should cut that part out. But I did think about it before we started recording. I was like, I don't know if I want to talk about these guys.
Murder. Well, we do talk about murder. We talk about difficult things sometimes, Rachel.
But we can do hard things, Cheryl.
We can do hard
things. It's another podcast, which I love.
We can do hard things. Okay. Blah, blah, blah. Da, da, da. They get a meeting with...
The glasses are cute, even though they're readers.
And Ravel.
And Ravel. Yeah.
Ann Rabel. She was a former SEC commissioner. Oh, this was the big deal because when Pat got his job, he asked the people, must have been Keyser? Oh, is that his name?
Keyser.
Must have been Keyser. Asked him where the money goes, like all of these questions. Can I lie and say I'm a police? And this guy was like, yeah, you can. And we keep all the money. So he now has an audio tape, and he meets Ann Rabel, a former SEC commissioner. He plays the tape for her and is very complimentary to Pat and calls him a whistleblower, which he loved.
Yes.
Where do you think whistleblower comes from?
From?
Like, how is it just like somebody's in a
somebody
factory?
Somebody blew a whistle.
Somebody's in a factory and they say, whew, whew, look over here. Yeah. This thing is happening.
Wait, I'm sorry. What do they do? If you guys could see where her fingers are, it's as if she's acting like she's doing like a baseball style whistle, you know, like baseball players do. But she's not putting her fingers on her mouth, but she's like improvising it. It's like what you would do in improv, but we're on a podcast.
The point
is, so whistleblower.
Do you think that's what, or do you think it's like a referee whistle?
Oh, you know what? I honestly thought of like a 1940s person with like a cap on.
Oh.
Like a pageboy cap with like a rim. And then he's got like a train whistle. That's like, boo. Like that. Like that's what I thought in my mind. True story. I mean it. Like I was like, boo. Like I really thought of like seeing like in a factory. And then like, and there's steam coming out of like stovepipes. That's what I was thinking. That's where whistleblower came from.
Oh, and then you think a guy with a train whistle like goes out to the plaza, like to the town square and says.
Or just like in the factory. Yep. I think that's what happened. And then he got everybody's attention. And he was like, he said something's corrupt.
This is not okay.
is in charge of all of this, and they need to go to jail.
Okay.
But it could have been in the day that someone stole a lollipop or something like that.
Right. Like when it first started, it was probably... Right. I feel like you're talking about those whistles. That's like...
I am. Whoop. Well, it's not a slide whistle. It's not like a slide whistle. It's just like a... Like, you know what? It reminds me of
a
like...
A kazoo? In, like a kazoo?
Well, like in The Sound of Music. Mm. Like when he would blow that little whistle for his children, which was really scary and awful.
And not and just really for them like, to harmonize?
No, that was... That's a pitch,
pipe. A pitch pipe.
It's a pitch pipe. That's a pitch pipe. This was a whistle that he'd blow for his kids.
How did it sound?
We're going to be right back with more Bogged Down in just a moment.
More Bogged Down.
We are so bogged down, and you're welcome.
Okay, we're back.
Where's Tig? Hashtag Tig.
Hashtag where's Tig? Okay, anyway, Pat has a panic attack about flying. I don't know that we need to mention it.
They're going to go to Florida to interview these people at the Florida FOP. Mm-hmm. And they're excited. They get down there. Mm-hmm. And he's afraid to fly. So they end up having to do 3 days to drive. By the time they get there, they say, we're not doing this interview anymore. And they're like, everything's, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. So they decide to go to a different place in Florida.
Can I tell you something, Rachel?
And go after that guy with the barbecue.
This is very important about true story.
Okay, great.
And you're not even going to believe this until it starts happening.
Okay.
In almost every documentary, there's something weird that happens in Florida.
Oh, I believe it. You are that something weird that happened in Florida.
I mean, Florida is always involved.
Florida is always shady.
How dare you? Now you're talking about people.
I know I am.
They're the outliers, but the outliers go to Florida to do their shady things.
Yeah.
And did you think it was weird, and why did we see it, that when they get to Florida, they pull over and Patrick throws marshmallows to crocodiles?
To crocodiles, yeah. And I love that they kept it in. Because they just wanted to give you that flavor of like how
serious they were as filmmakers.
It was just another little glimpse into Pat.
Oh, Pat.
You know, that humanized him because he's so sweet. We didn't even talk about Sue, his wife. Yeah. You know, that was just like that relationship. They were committed to one another and it was very sweet.
Yeah.
And they both felt like they would die without the other one. Because they probably would have.
They were very sweet together. Very sweet together.
Yeah, and I liked, this was also weird, the neighbor that was like, I watched him get her out of a wheelchair. She's like, if you see that person, if you get a man that can get a woman out of a wheelchair.
That's a good
man.
That
is a good motherfucker.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Okay.
She said.
And she's not wrong.
She is not wrong.
Now, there's a guy named Jeff, right? They have an anonymous contact named Jeff.
Oh, yeah, Jeff.
It seemed weird.
They pixelated out his face. And his voice, but yet I'm like, I could probably pick him out if I saw him.
I feel
him
like
on the
I could pick him out in a lineup.
Like I feel
we
like
saw
easily.
Every inch of him except
we really
his face.
His face, and then we actually did kind of see his face. You know what I mean? Like we were like
they didn't do that.
If anybody worked with him, they'd
pixelating.
Be like, that's Jeff. They're like, it's like if anybody, even a janitor that worked in that building would be like, oh, that's guy Jeff.
Oh, there's Jeff.
That's Jeff.
Yeah. You guys, come over here and see Jeff. Yeah.
I was like, come on, you guys.
You guys.
I mean, like, all due respect to the filmmakers.
Yes.
But we all know who Jeff is.
Know. We could pick out Jeff in a lineup.
And even if he has that garbled voice.
Yeah. Because they did the voice thing where it's like, my name is Jeff.
If they'd really wanted to keep his identity.
He could have been a shadow.
A secret.
He could have been.
They could have literally just had his voice.
Had his voice. Not his whole body. They could have done the back of his head even.
Because we all know who Jeff is. That's just all I'm saying.
Let's
is
say,
that
if you watch this, you'll be like, oh, that guy lives next to me.
And I got to be honest with you.
Please.
If anything bad was going to happen to Jeff after that documentary came out, he's dead.
What?
Jeff's dead. He's got to be
Rachel.
Dead.
Rachel.
Cheryl, I'm just saying because
you were the one that is concerned about
I am
safety,
concerned.
And now
I
you're
am,
saying,
but I'm going to say there's no way they protected him.
He did
I'm
not
just
protect
saying,
his identity.
There's no way they protected him, and Jeff is dead.
Oh my God, you
Jeff, will you call in?
Jeff,
call in right now to 1-800.
This is not a real number.
Bogged down. 1-800 bogged down. with Tig and Cheryl. Wait, with Rachel and Cheryl, or Cheryl and Rachel. And let us know you're okay. All right.
Okay, listen. We're winding it up. We got to wrap it up. Thomas, we
need
to wrap
serious?
It up. Are you serious? Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, let me just, here's one more thing.
No one knows what this documentary is about.
No.
Go ahead.
Here's one thing that I thought that stood out to me where I was like, what just happened? Okay, because a lot of time passed. Like, there are years that pass between some of these.
It's like 8 years, because I think it was 2012 to 2020 when they came back and he had gone to Los Angeles.
Yeah, and so Sam had gone to Los Angeles. And Sam said, yeah, I moved to Los Angeles. I was, you know, a photographer, videographer.
Did some weddings.
Weddings, bar mitzvahs, and some foot stuff.
Yeah, I know. Cheryl, I'm so glad you said that.
And then they had a picture, a video of a woman with her feet.
And I was like, is it foot porn? Or is it like foot stuff?
Or was he just doing foot model stuff?
I know.
No.
I mean, like, times are tough.
Foot model.
Think about it. I did some telemarketing, but it was for Center Theater Group. But I sold tickets and people actually got to get tickets.
So this was real.
They buy tickets. It was real.
It wasn't a scam.
But I had to cold call people and say, hi, this is Rachel from the Center Theater Group. And they would, I'm just going to say.
Yeah, say it.
Whew, it is not easy. People do not want to talk to you. I love it when they just go, I have no time and I have no money. Click.
I'm like, you were barking up the wrong tree.
Is that what you say?
Well, I don't see that. But I wanted to know more about the foot stuff.
Ironically enough, Sam is here right now.
Sam, come on in.
Sam,
hey,
come on in.
Sam.
Hey, Sam. But would you think it was just foot model stuff?
No.
Foot model?
I'm sorry. I'm just going to say that to you one more time. Do you think this was foot model stuff?
No.
No.
No, Rachel. No.
How bad could it be? But I mean, like, how bad can foot stuff be?
I don't know. That's what I wish he... I wanted to do more about the foot stuff. And why did he call it foot stuff? And why would they show a little tiny video of a lady's foot in motion? Because then it's like, then you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to look up...
You know
up,
what I know?
What?
Guess what?
Tell me.
I bet I know what he did. I bet he was a videographer for Zappos. And
Rachel,
when they walk in and they show you the shoe and they and
sweet.
He was filming.
Why wouldn't he just say foot modeling?
I don't know.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Because this got me down a road I didn't need to go down when I was watching this.
You couldn't sleep last night.
But what is...
Was it a hot flash or that you couldn't sleep?
What is fans only?
Wait, do you mean OnlyFans?
Oh, what is OnlyFans? Is that what it's called? Is that what it's called?
Yeah. It's called OnlyFans.
And what is it?
You have to subscribe to someone's...
Is it porn?
OnlyFans page.
Is it porn or not necessarily?
Oh, it is.
Well, it's you're basically doing stuff that you can't do on Instagram or that you can't do on Facebook, right? You can show all your twigs and berries, your nips and your naps, your buttholes.
Your cracks.
Basically, if Sabrina wanted to see someone do the front, the back, and don't forget the crack, you could see that on OnlyFans.
OnlyFans.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought it was fans only.
I just only can't fans. Believe you really seriously. Is this just for the show? Or do you really not know what it only
I really
fans
don't
is?
Know what it is. Because this is what I thought it was. Okay. I thought it was, let's say if you're...
Well, first of all, you thought it was fans only.
I did think it was fans only.
Yeah.
And I thought it was like, maybe if you're famous, let's say if you really like Rachel Harris, then you can get involved with her... OnlyFans, is that what it's called? And then you would be, somebody would call you up and you'd say, oh, hey, Mike, I'm just hanging out in my kitchen. I was making dinner. What's going on with you? But it's not that.
Well, it would be if it was on video and you logged in and I was naked making like a pork roast in the oven. And I'd bend over.
As per usual. And you
and
would
you'd
like,
see
Mike,
the front,
like
the back.
And the crack.
And the crack.
But okay, let me ask. Is it not real time? Is it, this is like, would you produce a video and then when Mike comes?
In OnlyFans, I don't know. I've actually never seen an OnlyFans page, but I've heard about it. And I mean that. I think you could go in and see.
Like pictures.
See things
Thomas,
that have been
do you know?
Archived.
Thomas.
I don't know. I think it's more like pre-recorded.
Oh,
okay. Because I thought maybe you could log in for like a live.
But
like
then,
the,
but
show.
Then, if you were Rachel Harris, that had your own account, then you're just like,
Yeah.
Naked all day long, taking calls.
Let's just take it easy.
Okay, I just
if you
curious.
Were if you were Cheryl Hines and you were never nude, which Cheryl is a never nude, by the way. Have you talked about this with Tig?
We have.
That you're never nude?
Yes.
Even with me, her best friend.
I don't need people seeing my front, my back, and my crack.
No, Cheryl does not.
I don't like it.
She is very modest, which I appreciate.
Thank you, Rachel.
Which I appreciate, but it's also like,
You don't care.
Come on.
You don't.
We got to go.
You don't
We got to get out the door. Let's just change just, in the closet. Go.
I need my space.
She really does. All right, OnlyFans. You heard it here first.
I would have the worst OnlyFans page.
Oh, it would be so
account,
sad.
Where mm-hmm. it's like I'm just in a sweater and my jeans. Like, hey, mm-hmm. Mike.
And a pair of like white tennis shoes.
That's exactly what I'm wearing. And I'd be like, hey, I'm just making my pork roast fully clothed. And then that's not – who wants to see that?
But we don't even eat pork. So that was a terrible example because neither of us eat pork.
You're the one that said it.
I know.
Okay, here's my last question about that. Is it like an app?
I don't know.
Okay.
Listen, I don't know
if you're listening and you have an OnlyFans account, we want to hear from you.
Will you please email us? Oh, yeah. Please tell us.
Okay. Here we go.
What it is.
So, Jeff, anonymous Jeff, it starts to get a little, at the end, I thought we were like careening to a dramatic ending, right? Yeah. Because they're like, this is it. We're going to take them all down. Pat gets a chance to talk to Senator Richard Blumenthal. About the corrupt telemarketing schemes. And I'm like, get ready. Senator Blumenthal is about to bring down the hammer.
And he saw Pat and immediately, because of his jacket and his hat, I believe, didn't take him seriously.
Well, now you have to explain the hat and the jacket.
Okay. You saw Pat, though.
I did. Yes, of course. I watched it.
What I loved about it is that they did actually clean up his hair. Mm-hmm. I could tell that they said, tuck your hair underneath that hat, dude, because we can't Barney Fife it in this right now. We've got to have you look. And what's great is that I feel like they actually did do a good job of prepping him for that interview. And he was very good at presenting his case. But it was actually... I mean, like, it was gut-wrenching to see how Senator Blumenthal didn't take him seriously at all. And that he said, my staff is going to talk to you right now. My staff is going to talk to you about this very issue right now. He walked out, and then his staff came in and said, I'm so sorry. Well, we can't do it today. Even though Senator Blumenthal said, they will talk to you today.
So crickets.
Yeah. And then 6 months later, cut to.
What are we cutting to?
They did say 6 months later after that interview.
Cut to.
That you see Pat, I don't know, you guys, I feel like.
I feel like he went to Capitol Hill or something. Oh, gosh.
He gets a photo.
He gets a photo, that's right. Like, they finished the documentary, and Sam brings him a photo. Because he said, all I want, when he was starting to do the interview, is he's like, I just want a picture with Senator Blumenthal. And
just to show that he made it.
And Sam said, of course. We'll have that. And so
on his way out, when Senator Blumenthal's
leaving, they're like, can we get a picture? And literally they just completely dismissed the whole deal.
Yeah.
And he said, if there needs to be a congressional hearing on this, there will be. Basically, if this has any merit. And he didn't even allow the staff to talk to him.
And that was in basically the end of the documentary.
Yeah.
So no action has been taken. So just if you're listening and you get a telemarketing call, you don't give them don't send a check. People write checks?
Send them.
Don't give them anything.
They do write checks still. Yeah.
Okay.
And then they're like, we're going to send you this in the mail. But I'm sure they do it online too. Like, you can log into this account and
give us your money.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's just like people want to take your money however they can get it. It's just, that was what was horrifying.
Yeah.
It was also the callousness in which they were like, who better to get this money from than a dope addict, you know, or a heroin addict, because they are driven to get money to support their habit, and they know how to get it out of you however they're going to, which was really disgusting that these organizations preyed on those people to work in their call centers too.
Yeah.
So that's like a final thought. And you're welcome.
Okay. It's well, really sad. You're really jumping ahead because we actually do have final thoughts.
I know.
Are you ready for final thoughts?
I'm so ready for final thoughts.
Rachel, it is time for Happily Ever After Thoughts, where we give our final thoughts on this week's documentary, although you just did. Did you cry?
No, but I felt like I was on the verge of just being like, this is upsetting. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really disturbing.
Yeah.
Did you cry?
No, I didn't cry.
Yeah.
I rarely cry.
I know. You think it's weak. And you also think it's weak to say you're sorry.
I don't think it's weak to say you're sorry. I'm just saying.
You've said to me so many times, never apologize.
Well, if you didn't do anything wrong, don't apologize. Don't start with, I'm sorry. I don't agree with you.
Okay, so that's what you meant. Okay, great. After 20 years of friendship, now I understand.
I mean, if you don't agree with somebody, you don't have to say, I'm sorry. I don't agree. No. If you don't agree because you have a good reason, don't start off with, I'm sorry.
That's right. But that's also part of the four agreements. Like, be impeccable with your word.
What are the four agreements?
What?
What?
You're the one who told me about the four agreements.
Oh, what are they? I forgot. What are the four agreements?
You should see my face. I wish this was actually on video.
Do we
Cheryl
call them
had an entire book that was called The Four Agreements.
No,
and she was
that's
like,
the
I
seven,
like to remember
that
this.
Is the seven.
Seven spiritual laws.
Seven, what is it
steps
called?
To success.
No, the seven spiritual laws of success.
Right.
Yes,
but
that's
you also
the four
said
agreements.
The four agreements. You did say
okay,
the four agreements.
Okay, what are they?
And one wasn't be impeccable with your word. Mm. And you just said, never say you're sorry. And I've been trying to like not say I'm sorry for 20 years and it's impossible.
I'm just saying.
Because all I ever do is say I'm sorry to everyone.
Yeah, then it gets watered down.
Ugh.
Ugh. Okay, we'll get a sidebar when this is over.
It's amazing we're still friends.
Wait, were you attracted to anyone in this?
I was. Okay. I was attracted to Adam. Oh, no. Sam. I was attracted. I don't know why I keep calling him Adam.
Sam.
At like, I want to say 2012.
Mm.
But then when he moved to Los Angeles, I was like, oh, okay. Oh, he's that guy.
Oh.
But I think he's really nice and a wonderful filmmaker.
Yeah. What do you mean by
and
he's
I like that
guy?
He's,
what does that mean?
He's just that guy. Like he just grew into that guy.
I know
he's going to go into specifics.
Okay, yeah. Because when he started out,
all of a sudden,
he was
he's like
so
that
young
guy.
And sweet. Yeah.
I think I was attracted to the fact that he was on a path that was not great and that he turned it around.
Yeah.
And that he was like, I need to turn this around. And I, as you know, I am very attracted to people that have been through something that have chosen to work through it. And make something amazing of their life.
Why are you acting like you're the only person attracted to that? That's a very attractive trait for anybody. I think anybody would be attracted to that, don't you think?
I'm not saying nobody else on the planet is attracted to that. I'm just saying you know me.
Yeah.
I love to foster animals.
That's absolutely not true.
I like a project. Yes, I do.
Oh, yeah.
I have two children. But prior to that, how many dogs did I have?
Okay, this is another sidebar.
It's another podcast.
Okay, was I attracted to anybody?
Cheryl, wait. Mm. Were you attracted to anybody? Who were you attracted to?
I mean, Sam's cute.
Mm-hmm.
And the same. Like, I liked his energy.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
All right, Cracklin. Cracklin is Cheryl's mother, by the way.
Oh,
she
they
just
know.
Did a complete impersonation
okay,
of Cracklin.
Okay, and can I tell you something? I'm getting ready to go to my high school reunion, and I think I might bring Cracklin as my date.
She will be so excited. It will make her year.
I can't wait. Okay.
To go with her daughter. That's so awesome.
That's all for this week's episode. Next week, we'll be talking about Wham!, which you can watch on Netflix.
And Cheryl's going to ask, is Wham!, is it Wham! Bam! Thank you, ma'am. Like, and is it fans only?
But by the way, here is a question. Because the name of the documentary is Wham! Exclamation point. Is that the name of their band? Was Wham! With an exclamation point?
Yes. That's the name of the band.
I didn't know
George
that.
Michael.
I didn't know that till this moment. I mean,
Cheryl, no, don't admit that ever again. I just thought don't it was ever Wham. Admit that again.
But did you knew it was Wham with an exclamation point?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Listen, you guys, we would love to hear from you. Email us at truestoryfanmail@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And you can follow us on Instagram. And are we on Facebook, Thomas? Seems like. Yeah. He says yes.
Yeah. We would love to
talk to you. So if you have any questions for us, if there's a documentary you're dying to see.
From Too Hard on Cheryl, or Cheryl's. Needs to watch more of the documentary before she talks about it. You watch
nobody
it all.
Nobody watches it harder than me.
That doesn't make sense.
That's gross. Okay. You guys, we love reading your messages, comments, and reviews. Keep letting us know what you think about the docs. Leave us a review, and we might just read your responses on the show. True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Rachel Harris. It's produced by Thomas Roulette, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Roulette, with production assistance from Nadia Levitz. Special thanks to Gabby Kovacic, Patrick McDonald, and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story wherever you get your podcasts. You can email us at truestoryfanmail@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.